Eke, Eshuotara. Let that light come right in front of you. Omoyarawana mama ke ni naoe. And allow that light to shower down on you. Feel it saturating your hair. Feel it dripping on your skin from head to toe. Soak it into your nails and your teeth. Let it permeate the pores of your skin. Feel it flowing with the blood in your veins, strengthening your muscles, soothing your nerves and your soft tissue, cleansing your internal organs, polishing your bones. And feel the reality that that sky is always above you, the sun and the moon and the stars moving perpetually, that that energy is always being drenched down upon you as the energy of the earth is being brought up into you. And please, please be clear that you are the highway, the pole, the receptor of these two energies. That your responsibility here is to bring heaven and earth together. And with that sense of empowerment, I want you to take a deep breath and let it out slowly. Take another deep breath and let it out slowly. And on the third deep breath, I'm going to ask you to open your eyes and just look around the room of your house where you are. Just let yourself survey your environment and feel the energy. Feel the energy. Feel the energy that is around you. I hear somebody's dog. You know, I am sitting here in Louisiana, surrounded by a landscape that has been altered. When I was a child, this property, this land of my mother's, behind the fence, there was green and water and blackberries and critters and a waterway running by the side of the house. That has been taken away and replaced with pipes and gravel and machines, and most of the trees have been taken away. Unless you are fortunate enough to have an environment that feels like a village, where you can be connected to the land, where you can talk to the trees and hear the water all the time.
Okay.
I can hear
Are
somebody.
You ready for me to make break yet?
Unless you have that kind of an environment with you, you may feel a little off center quite a bit. As human beings, we came to be, we developed inside the beauty of the forests of the earth. And when we are deprived of that, there is an effect. It is now known, you know, all the science, not all, but a lot of the scientific research is in that shows when you take a walk in nature, you're not as depressed. When you sit and stare on water, there is a calming effect. When you look at sunsets or gaze upon the stars, our natural intelligence is increased. And so a big part of our job now is to reconnect to our primal native intelligence and to reestablish our early relationship to nature, to spirit, and to each other. Let me say that again. In bringing heaven and earth together, the work we have before us is reconnecting to our primal native intelligence and being able to reclaim, reconstruct our relationship to nature, spirit, and each other. As you looked around, when you opened your eyes empowered and looked around your environment, did you like what you saw? You know? Were you visited by a feeling that something needs doing, okay? Something needs doing to make your home that peaceful, friendly village where your body is secure and your spirit can expand. Now, I know that we are in different situations. Some of us in a home, some of us in an apartment, some of us may be living in a camper, a trailer, sharing space with people who don't necessarily have the same idea. So I'm going to start with the simplest things and go into more complex things so that you have to know that you can always, always do something to shift the energy in your environment from the smallest thing to the biggest thing, okay? So I'm going to start off by assuming that you've been living in the place where you've been living and that probably there may be some thought forms or emotional energies hanging out that are not necessarily A1, okay? These show up when you come home from work frustrated from what happened on the job, you exhale. That energy is in the room. There's been an argument in the house. That energy looms in the corners, you know. The house has been empty a long time. That energy looms there. A strange smell comes in from the street. That energy looms there. There are two very simple things that a person can do on a regular basis, like maybe once a week, if you can order a stick of sage, minimally, a stick of sage and light it and walk to all the corners of your house, starting at the front door, get all the corners in the front room, get all the corners in the next room, get all the corners in every room, until you come back around to the front, and then open the door and let that energy out. Let that smoke out. Let fresh air blow through. Now, you want to be careful if there's a sandstorm outside or too much noise, then this is different. You know, you just lift up the window and take a white rag and and fan the air. But the basic idea is that you want to get those energies that have been looming in the corner. You know how you can walk in somebody else's house or in an office or in a grocery store and feel uncomfortable for no apparent reason? You're picking up on the vibrations. You're picking up on the energies, and our ancestors would have said the little spirits that are hanging out in that room, in that place. Now, I recommend smudging once a week only because I want to encourage you to establish an easy routine, something that becomes habit, okay? So most of us who work in these 9-to-5 jobs, what if the last thing you do before you come in on Friday or go to bed on Friday, you know, if you're going out to a party or something, that's all right. But before you go to bed, what if you come in and smudge the corners or do that first thing Saturday morning, and that is just part of your routine? That's a 10-15 minute thing that is part of your routine. Get it in there so that you can constantly lift the vibration in your house. That is minimal. That's minimal. And the truth of the matter is, while sage is highly recommended, there are other herbs that you can use for cleansing, and there are other ways, but I'm putting the simplest out there first. The next thing you might want to do is put a big pot of water on the stove to boil and grab a handful of basil, throw it in there, and just let the steam, the smell of the basil, circulate through the house. Just let it roll through the house. Basil is one of those herbs, like sage, that is very, very, very sympathetic to the needs of humans. And letting basil roll through your house will lift the psychic vibration of everybody in the house.
He produces a song. Oh.
Everybody in the house will be more in tune with their intuition and will be able to pay better attention to what spirit is saying to them. So, you know, this is a minimal routine that you can do to level the energy field, to clean the energy field and keep it on a nice level. Take a deep breath and just notice whether or not you have any resistance to that idea, okay? It's a simple thing that can be done very, very easily. Now, when I first published Jambalaya in 1985, you know, there are rituals in Chapter 1 for how to spiritually clean a house. And I got letters from people saying, I'm mad with you. You telling me I got to clean my house. I'm tired of doing house cleaning. What do you mean? What I mean is you cannot throw sugar on shit and call it ice cream. You cannot do good spiritual work in a polluted environment. You cannot take medicine with water that has bad chemicals in it. There's a certain level of cleansing that you want to get to with the simplest things, with your water, with your air, with your food, with your thoughts, with your feelings, with your relationship to spirit. Okay? So don't nobody get mad at me if I go to the next level, which is the business of sweeping regularly. Sweeping regularly. I'm not talking about the Swiffer wet jet. I'm talking about a straw broom and a little bit of salt is another way to neutralize, especially if people have been tromping through your house, and some of them you hope they don't come back actually, you know, dropping some salt around the place and sweep it up and take it away or put it in running water. It will neutralize negative energies. You can also put some sea salt in water in a plant sprayer and just go around the room spraying. Just spray the atmosphere so that it is akin to bringing the energy of Yemaya into your house. And that's never a mistake to have her cleaning your house. So that is another very, very, very simple way to cleanse. We cleanse with earth, salt. We cleanse with air and fire, burning the smudge. We cleanse with water, spraying. We cleanse with sound. We cleanse with sound, which is a property of air. You have calming sounds in your house to bring peace, and invigorating sounds to bring inspiration. So your music collection becomes very, very important. Sometimes when a person is moving into a new home, maybe something freshly built, or this is your first apartment, or, you know, you walk in and you say, oh yeah, well, there's no bad vibes in here. I don't feel like I need to smudge. I don't feel like I need to beat the walls or any of those things. It feels pretty good in here. My next recommendation to you is to find the music that is most compatible with your nature and let it run all night. Put it in one of those recorders that will repeat, and just, you know, put a candle on the floor in an empty room and put the music in that room and just let it go, just let it run, because this vibration will be absorbed. Hello? What happened?
I just put the call in.
Oh, you're coming on the call?
Yes.
Okay, I think it's Skype 6. You have to mute.
Huh?
I think you need to press Skype 6. Otherwise, you're going to echo in the phone. Okay. So, a simple thing like putting a candle and some good music into the room will raise the vibration of the room and make it very, very joyous, very comfortable for you to be in there. Similarly, if you come in your house and you're feeling down and want to lift your vibrations, put on some drum music and dance around. Ain't nobody asking you to be on Dancing with the Stars. Ain't nobody going to check your choreography. None of that. Don't worry about that stuff. What you want to do is allow the rhythm of the drum to invigorate you and lift your spirits. I don't have them right at hand here because my library is locked up, but there's research that shows that African drum rhythms have a positive effect not only on brainwave patterns, but that sounds, various sounds, have positive effect on different organs in your body. So you can put some music in the empty room or in the middle of the floor and just dance, 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 and bring up that vibration. Okay? Bring up that vibration. Of course, letting sunlight in, letting moonlight in, letting fresh air in, all of these things are like bottom line cleansing, maintaining a good vibration in your home. Okay? Now, everybody take a deep breath and double check with yourself if those simple things are things that you feel like you could do on a regular basis, that you could fit some of that into your regular routine. You know, those of us who have Orisha shrines are probably, you know, feeding a Legba on Monday or doing something special for the Ibora on Monday or Tuesday. That would be a good day to establish the habit of I'm going to raise the vibration in the house. You just want to make it a habit. Make it a habit. This, of course, corresponds to having healthful habits for your body, for your aura. Now we're talking about drinking good amounts of good water, for the water, eating non-GMO food, vegetables, for the earth. Now we're talking about scent. Not that artificial stuff. I'm talking about essential oils. I'm talking about the smell of flowers. I'm talking about things that help you to breathe air. Water. Water. For your body and for your house. In Jambalaya, in Chapter 9, I have recommendations for herb and color baths. And I would encourage people to take a look at the section on cleansing. It's in Chapter 9 under the Rainbow Serpent. We start out on 217 with cleaning the three head centers, cleaning your head, making sure that water passes over your third eye, over the top of your head, down the back of your neck, and it is thrown out and off, and you can go down your whole body that way. The pages after that, page 20, 220 and 221, there's a number of baths. where I tell you what attribute it is, what color candle, and how you color the water, and what herbs, what you wash with, and I have recommended incenses that you can burn. So, for example, the white bath, which is a very, very popular one, you know, this is to purify. This is to cleanse. And though we would love to do that bath with a large quantity of ethylene or cascaria, for those of us who can have it, you can also use some evaporated milk to make your bath white. You can put white carnations in the tub if you're in the tub. You can put sea salt in there, and you can use either a scent like coconut or blessing oil to cleanse your body and your aura. So those of you who have jambalaya, take a look at the herb and color bath on page 221 and use them as you need them. It would be all right to take an herbal bath once a week. It would be all right to mix a concoction of the right herbs and the right the right elements, the right kind of water, and shake it up, put a little label on it, do not drink, and put it in the refrigerator so that if you are having a Monday cleansing routine, when you get ready to take your bath or your shower on Monday, you can just go in the refrigerator, get a cup of your cleansing formula, and clean your head, run it across the top of you, add it to your rinse water, and pour it over your body, and always sweep it off of you with your hands as if you are dusting, so that you are moving it through your aura. Now, here's something I really want people to test, because you'll only know that these things are working when you test them. It's one thing for me to sit here and say it, but it's not until you have been able to feel it and put it to proper use that you will know what works well for you and how to work it. One of the things you might want to try is when you are caught in 5 o'clock traffic, oh, my God, road rage. You know, I'm learning about Louisiana road rage. I'm accustomed to California road rage and L.A. road rage, where people pull out a gun and shoot your tires if you cut in front of them. But road rage is a very, very dangerous thing. People are coming home from work. They're underpaid. They're aggravated. They're hungry. They're trying to get home. You're stuck in bumper-to-bumper traffic. If you are starting to feel really raged or really sleepy or any of that, pull out of traffic, go into the nearest decent service station bathroom, cup your hands with water, and ask that my head support me. In Yoruba, it's Ori Mi Bamio, but in English, you can say it in English, as say to the water, let my head support me. And then just put the water on your third eye, take it over the top of your head, down the back of your neck, and shake out, and you will probably notice that the back of your neck is hot. So you want to keep doing that until the back of your neck cools off. Your whole attitude will cool off, and you'll be able to go back into that traffic without killing anybody, including yourself. And sometimes when it's done really, really effectively, it puts your ORI in control, in enough control, that you get back into a better flow of traffic. I remember some years ago, I was on some radio show in the Bay Area, and the moderator was asking me about practices like this, about visualization and calling on spirits and so on. And so, you know, I said to the people who are listening, to the people who are listening, who are caught in traffic, instead of honking your horn and getting aggravated, I want you to smell the scent of fresh mint. Take a deep breath and remember what fresh mint smells like. Just relax, breathe, and smell fresh mint. And the traffic helicopter, which was over the Bay Bridge, called in and he said, "Do you know that the traffic has been clearing up since she started that?" Now, the whole universe above our head is paying attention to what we do. We are constantly sending out vibrations and constantly receiving them. So we want to get ourselves to the place where we in spirit, our everyday lives and everyday activities as much as possible, because this is what was taken away from us, is the ability to in spirit everyday acts, how we cook, what we eat, what we have in our home, what we say to each other, where we go, our relationship to the land. Okay? So these are very, very simple things that I consider to be good spiritual health maintenance. Okay? Take a deep breath and feel if that is the kind of thing that you can incorporate in your life. On your way to work, from work, when you feel frustrated, test it. Pull off the road. Get some cool water. Say a prayer into the water. Water's our mother and she loves us. And clean your head. Ask your consciousness to guide and direct you. And see the difference there. Take a deep breath and relax. Because now we're going to move into a situation that is a little more difficult. Let us say you live here with your family. You hear the tone I had in that, oh my goodness, sometimes trying to keep peace among your family members can be a full-time job. We have all these people moving around in a given space. Usually it's not enough space. You have all these different feelings and all these different thought forms piling up, bouncing off the walls. People are having energetic, emotional temper tantrums. And you may or may not know it from their external behavior, but, man, I am really aggravated. What is going on in here today? I don't know. Get out of here, y'all. I don't know if I can be bothered with you anymore. What are you fussing about? Sometimes you will notice that people in the house are fussing about stuff, and you're kind of going, what? What is wrong with y'all? That ain't no big deal. But everybody seems aggravated about some amorphous something And the worst of it is, if you are the alpha person or the responsible person in the house, and not everybody getting on your nerves, the whole thing is going to fall apart. You see what I'm saying? So you have an obligation to keep yourself grounded and centered, and then to look around and see what's happening to your people. Oftentimes, if you have pets, if you have birds, fish, cats, dogs, your animals will let you know when the vibration done gone crazy. Now, you know, I like working dogs. I deliberately plant things to attract birds, but I'm quite a bit of a cat person when it comes to having an affinity animal. And I know that a good cat will not only tell you what's going on in the house, a good cat will put your ego in place if you let it get out of hand. You know, they will tell you where you are blowing it. So you want to pay attention to what your animals are doing. You want to pay attention to what your children and your partner are saying. You want to pay attention to how the house is feeling. If you find that there is senseless argument going on in the house, then you might want to perform the rituals that I have listed here in Jambalaya at the end of chapter 1. Okay? If you, those of you who have the book, if you look on page 20, you see a ritual called the fuss ball. The fuss ball to ensure domestic tranquility. For this ritual, you need a butter knife, a wooden bowl, a piece of white cloth, and 3 pennies. Try to get an old one, a one from your birth year, and one from the current year. Get a package of grated sweetened coconut, or you can grate your own if you're good at that. A jar of honey, and a little fresh water. Now what you're going to do is take the knife and scrape the dirt that has gathered in the corners of your house. Sweep it out. Sweep the floors of each room and bring the piles of dirt to the center of the floor. People often ask, what if I have carpet? For carpet, use a broom that has, you sprinkle some bay rum or some Florida water on the tips of the broom and go against the fiber so that you're getting the dirt out from in the fiber. Okay? Pick up that dirt and place it in the wooden bowl. Be sure that you have swept every room, because if you do this ritual and you miss a room, what will happen is people will gather in that room to argue. Okay? Sweep the walls and the ceiling if necessary. Sometimes you look up and you see those dust spider webs, those dust webs in the corner. You want to get them, you know. Put a towel, a paper towel or something on the end of the broom. Use it, take the broom by the handle and reach up there or get a long stick. But you want to get all of that. And then sprinkle the debris. You have it in the bowl and you're sprinkling it with water. Omitutu, you know, the water to cool things down. While you're doing this, you're remembering what people have been arguing about. Okay? Now you're going to dump the grated coconut into the debris. You see what's happening there? Sweetened coconut. And stir it with your hands. Then you're going to drip, those of you who are in Orisha tradition, always remember to taste your honey before you do anything with it. Drip the jar of honey over the mixture and make sure it saturates all the debris and the coconut. Gather that into a ball. Make it nice and round. Push the old penny face down into the bottom of the ball, the birth year penny in the center sideways, standing on the edge, and the new penny face up in on the top of the ball. Here comes the real consciousness piece. You are making an agreement to be the peacekeeper in your home. You're the one who's picking up the dirt, gathering it, and sweetening it. So you, this is a symbolic act where you are agreeing to be the peacekeeper. Okay? You're going to wrap that ball of sweetened frustration, sweetened fussing in the waste, in wrap it up in the white cloth, and you're going to go take it to a public waste can. Okay? Now, where you take it has something to do with what the trouble's been. If the trouble in the house has been everybody's short of money and so everybody's irritated, then you want to take that fuss ball and put it in the garbage near a bank. If the problem has been that people are ill or lethargic, they have an inertia, you think somebody's been sick, somebody's been depressed, that kind of thing, then you would drop it in the garbage near a hospital. And if you feel like it's really been a spiritual matter that, you know, you can't really pinpoint the material, then you would take it to a sacred place, a church, a temple, etc., and dump it there, okay? You see, we are employing the laws of sympathy and contagion. We're employing the laws of sympathy and contagion. And in the classes, I will teach you much about the laws of sympathy and contagion, because once you learn those and you learn the herbs and you learn the processes, you will always be able to assess the situation and arrive at the appropriate action for your situation. Okay? Now, the wooden bowl, you're going to clean that out with salt water and put it away. And you'll only use it for this particular ritual. Salt it, clean it, put it away. It is important that we have our ritual paraphernalia and that and that we remember what its usage is. When you're writing petitions, for example, you like to have a particular pen that's on your altar that you always write your petitions on with, because the more you do it, the more you awaken the ashe, the more powerful the thing becomes. Now, this particular ritual is especially good for putting an end to screaming matches. If you got one of them households where for some reason people are screaming at each other, stuff that could be said, you know, you're thinking, you know, y'all, we could sit down and talk about this. We don't have to be screaming. If that's going on in your house, you want to make a fuss ball. You want to do a fuss ball. As a matter of fact, when I had my house on 53rd Street, I did this every January, just as a matter of cleansing, because, you know, at the end of the year, we had the end of the year festival ceremonies where we went to the ocean and talked to Yemaya, where we did an Awan, a big cleansing before Lokum, to leave the concerns of the year before behind us. So you want to get into a routine of spiritual self-help. And we'll talk about that. We'll learn about that in the class. There is a way. There is a way to install personal rituals in your life that will keep you going. Now, most of us tend to have the emergency room approach to spiritual. Oh, my God, I'm broke. Let me do a prosperity ritual. Oh, my goodness, I feel bad. Let me take a bath. You know, we want to get to the place where there is, you know, you can handle a panic situation if you need to, but you want to get to a place where you have a practices that reinforce the positive in your life so that you can become stronger, clearer, and much more productive. So, you know, domestic tranquility is very, very important. We live in a very, very stressful world, stressful times. Everything is beeping. Oh, my God, I'm so tired of things. I am so tired of things that beep. Your cell phone beeps, your pager beeps, your TV beeps, the car beeps. You know, there's all these things that say, you got to do everything right now. You know, there's lots of stress signals. When you come home, you should be returning to an atmosphere that is that of the peaceful village. You should be returning to your primal forest. If you don't live somewhere where you can see trees, fill your house with house plants, and failing that, go to YouTube and look for videos of the forest and come home, sit down with a glass of tea or a glass of wine and look at the landscape. It's been proven that even just seeing nature tends to calm us. The more we can have the beauty of the outside world along with the protection of being inside, the more secure we will feel, the clearer we'll be, and the healthier you will be. Okay? So we want to get rid of all that fussing. We want to get rid of all that fussing. And I want to say that that particular ritual was given to me by an ancestor that I used to address when I first came into the tradition, and we would have misas or egun ceremonies. There was a spirit who spoke who had been a friend of my mother's when I was a child. And I want to say Egun Reo for the ancestor named Lydia. And Lydia used to come on me, and she would be crying. And she was always crying because the children were not learning, she said. The children are not learning. We have to teach the children the old ways. And she would come in to me and tell people these old, what they would call African-American plantation early Reconstruction type rituals. So it's important for you to know that those old wise tales, that information that your great-great aunt had, those processes that grandpa knew about but didn't talk about, that stuff is in your consciousness. And all you have to do is make yourself a tuning fork who can receive the vibration. As we continue to do this work and you develop your primal knowledge, it will start to come through. And that's why it will be important not only for you to take copious notes when I'm talking to you, but for you to pay close attention to what your consciousness is telling you, to try the things safely that your consciousness tells you, to chronicle, to make note of, well, I was sitting in front of my ancestor shrine, I was thinking about such and such a thing, and what I heard was, get up and go make some basil water and sprinkle it through the house. And I got up and I did that. And over the next few days, I noticed that, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you see, so that you start to take notes on how spirit is manifesting for you and which things worked the best for you. Everybody take a deep breath. And we're still in a relatively peaceful home. We're making our home peaceful now. We've taken the fuss out, and we want to move the vibration up. You know, one of the things that I learned and had to overcome, sometimes for many years I called myself a recovering Catholic. And that's because in my junior high years, I went to Catholic school and learned to do a lot of things rotely. You know, you go to Mass and you pound your chest. Mea culpa, mea culpa, mea maxima culpa. You know, you make marks on your head, on your lips, on your heart, etc. And they tell you a little bit about what it means in catechism, but it becomes something that you do rotely with no emotion attached to it. I don't want you to do anything rotely, because every ritual is an extrovert meditation. Every object and every step in every ritual is an extrovert meditation where you are moving energy. You're moving thought. You're moving emotion. You are moving material objects. So if I said to you, I want you to walk into the kitchen and I want you to cook a meal that will inspire peace in your house, that will inspire joy in your house, that will inspire comfort in your house, each of you have some idea about what you will cook. I know earlier somebody was on this call and they were talking about greens and noodles and sausage. And I'm sitting here saying, am I invited to dinner? That sounded real good to me. That sounded kind of homey to me. Food is so important that we even have things we call comfort food, which is a lot of times something that's going to make you so comfortable you want to fall asleep afterwards. And if we look at what is usually holiday cooking, not only is it the food of the season, what the earth is giving us at that time, but it's the kind of things that require unity in preparation. There's a big difference between, you know, family members working together to secure the turkey, fussing over the dressing, the feeling of, when that bird comes out of the oven, the smell of the different things. There's a very big difference between that and, you know, running to Burger King. These things are designed to give us a sense of village, a sense of security, a sense of being connected to the gifts of the earth, and to loving each other. This is very, very important. You maybe, if you, especially if you're from the South, maybe you heard your mama say, "Mighty poor cook don't eat." You go to somebody's house and they cook and serve you and they ain't eating, don't eat. There's all kinds of beliefs behind that. There's all kinds of energy behind that, you know. When I made Ocha, they gave me certain instructions, certain taboos around food, and two of them are, one, you cannot stand up and eat, which translates into slow down, sit down, appreciate what's in front of you, ingest it, connect to the spirituality of it, and the other was, don't eat if the cook is angry. Now, I love cooking, and I've tested it, and ain't no sense in me cooking when I'm angry. If I'm angry, I'm going to mess up the food. It's going to turn out real freaky. It ain't going to be worth, you know, the happier I am, the better the meal is, and I can actually extend that after a while. It gets to the place where you can tell. You go in a restaurant, you can tell whether or not the cook is angry or what mood the cook is in because it's in the food. We're constantly, constantly moving energy, and that energy is in the food. Maybe some of you remember the movie Like Water for Chocolate, where the woman's heart was broken and you could taste it in her food. Every culture knows this. And, you know, we've sort of been told not to pay attention to it. But the most important thing, I'm not telling you that you have to turn into a gourmet whole foods cook. That's easy enough to do. I'm not telling you that, you know, you have to lay out a 5-course meal on a regular basis. That is easy to do. But what I am telling you definitely is it does not matter whether you have free-range chicken, a turkey, or pheasant under glass, baby. I don't care whether it's chicken under cellophane or pheasant under glass. What is important? What is important is the spiritual connection between you and the gift of the earth and the recognition that energy of earth and sky is running through you. Cooking and eating are alchemical processes. They are magical processes. And so for that reason, page 66 of Jambalaya has a prayer for mealtime and a blessing while cooking. The prayer for mealtime. O great mother, who bestows abundance upon us, we thank you for the living things. Now, name the things that you're eating. You're looking at the table. There's greens and sausage and cornbread. Name those things. We thank you for the living things that have sacrificed their lives to nourish us. We take this offering into our bodies that we may be strong. Make us strong, abundant mother. that we may be able to replenish the earth. You see, this is a cyclical relationship here. The earth gives to us. We give thanks for what the earth has given us. We take that into our bodies so that we can then further the earth and all of her children. This is the opposite of gluttony. This is the opposite of waste. This is, again, remembering that the earth and the sky are moving through you and that your job here is to make heaven on earth. Have those two come together. Sharing food is a big spiritual to-do everywhere. And I really want people to, think about creating your own blessing while cooking. It don't have to be a sonnet, you know what I'm saying? What it has to be is sincere. It has to express real gratitude for the food. It has to acknowledge the real sacredness of it and the connection between you and what is being given to you. If you are blessing the food, eating well, and then using your strength to hold and nurture others and the earth, then nobody's cheating there. There's no guilt there. There's no imbalance there. There's no gluttony there. That's a holistic, interdependent relationship. A holistic, interdependent relationship. So I want you to just take a minute and feel. Can you feel yourself creating a little prayer whereby you approach the stove or you approach the cutting board and you have something simple that you can say that expresses gratitude and love for what you are about to do? Now, I have to tell you, you know, I came up in a household where on holidays there was great fanfare about choosing the turkey. You know, we called him Mr. Turkey, and we patted him down with butter and wrapped him in the tea towels and put him in the refrigerator and let all the goodness soak in. And I used to love holidays because my mama and my all these women I called auntie, it took me forever to find out that I wasn't kin to them women by blood. But they were all auntie this one, big mama that one. And that would be such a cooking fest. Now, I can almost hear somebody saying, yeah, Tish, but I don't really cook, honey. I don't want to be stuck in the kitchen all the time. Get rid of all the time. I'm not talking about all the time. You know, if you've got that kind of schedule where you're eating out a lot, have at least one night where you cook so that you can get in touch with the sacredness of that act. Or if you have a schedule where you got to do most of your cooking on the weekend and put it in Ziploc bags or whatever and freeze it, then let that be your time. Your prayer can be as simple as Ange Orisha. You know, this is the food of the gods. But you need a process that allows you to recognize the sacredness to recognize the sacredness of that. Now, I think maybe we need to do some questions before I go on to anything heavier than this. I want to say that what I've tried to do so far is give you basic things that will allow you to begin a house cleaning and spiritual health maintenance kind of program. So I need to know if I have achieved that so far. If you have any questions about that or any particular need that you want me to address at this point.
If you have questions, would you please press *6 and I will call your number by the last 4 digits or by your name to recognize you here in the queue. So please press *6 to unmute if you have any questions. Hello? Okay, I see. I'm going to go from the top of the list here. I see that there is ending in 2697.
Yes, that's Makalani O. Jones Sr. right here.
Hello, Makalani.
Hey, Alafia!
Yeah, Alafia, me.
First of all, my mind is blown. I'm on the highway on 290 East connecting to 10 driving towards Louisiana because I live in Fort Arthur. I just picked up my kids from Austin.
Uh-huh.
So it's their weekend to catch with me. So mm-hmm. I'm in traffic now. And when you started talking about driving in traffic, smelling mint, uh-huh. all I did was smelling mint so I could stay calm and
yes.
zoomed into this telecast. I started visualizing. And
that's
the whole
right.
car felt like icy hot to my mind.
Yes.
And so the other thing is, like the fussball. I need
uh-huh.
to really talk to you about this fussball.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you are psychic. First of all, Kia Oriente Homo Avatala is psychic. I know she's psychic. So if you're friends with her, I know you must be psychic.
Yes, baby.
Yeah.
I love me some Oriade, honey. I saw the first time I saw her, I opened the door and I said, "Oh, my fatty fool no about to lie." I saw her about to lie as clear as day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the first ball, do you think you'll have a chance to do it soon, or is there a particular time? Because spring is a good time to do it.
Well, see, the fussball needs to take place at my mama's house.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, it's no fussing between me and mama, but it's fussing between me and my little brother.
Oh!
And it's not a good look, because
yeah.
I raised him. I taught
yeah.
him how to fight. I wiped his butt.
Yeah.
I changed his diaper. I taught him how to drive a car.
Mm-hmm.
I taught him everything about everything, and now something has taken place, and I don't like this dynamic between me and my little brother Akeem. And Hafeem Akeem Wade Jones is about 23 or 24 now.
Okay.
Well, Akeem 25 now. Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because my kids are 4, 5, and 7.
Okay.
So you know, they know is that's Uncle King.
Right.
I don't want to keep it like that. You see?
Gotcha.
But he called, and of course I honored the call, said, "Y'all say hi, Uncle King," and they said hi, and then immediately with them in the car on speakerphone, he goes in about some other thing, you know, trying to put me on blast about financial issues.
Oh, yeah.
House to try to build the way kids, my children look at me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm rolling with herbs in the car right now.
Mm-hmm.
I've got 8 ounce cup of jalapeno peppers. from Church's Chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And I know how to go to the train track. And I
know to help me out.
But I don't want to do that. Yeah.
Makalani, give, I would ask that you give Yeye an opportunity to respond, because we have many callers in the queue. So if you'll hold your comments, let her respond to you, please.
Okay. Okay, so, you know, well, there's a couple of things that I hear. First of all, I hear that we may have a generational issue going on here. If he's 24, he may stay confused until he hits that first Saturn cycle at 28, which will really, really shake him up. But if you all, if money is at the core of your argument, then you do need to, even if you can only pick up a little something from Mama's house and sweeten it, go throw it by a bank. You know what I'm saying? I have a little bit of concern because I thought I heard you say you were going to go throw peppers on the railroad track. And
no,
I'd be,
be
careful, because that ignites a goon, and I don't know that we want him running through this matter. Y'all don't need more fighting. It would be my tendency to think to go with Obatala. Now, if you're in a situation where you cannot fully do the fuss ball at your mother's house, minimally you can get a plant sprayer and put some water in it with some sea salt that has your prayer in it, and, you know, spray the house asking for neutrality.
Okay.
Just neutralize the negativity, because I hear you saying you don't want negativity to reach your children.
No.
Okay. Thank you, Yeye.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Makalani. Okay, let's see. We also have, let me go to the next line here. 8747. Caller 8747.
Hello?
Yes, we hear you.
Oh, hi. I didn't originally chime in with a question. I'd never pressed star six, but I think this is an opportune time for me to raise a question. Hi, AA. This is Kimberly from Oakland. I don't know if you remember.
Hey, baby.
Me,
hi, Kim Hudson?
I'm sorry?
Kim Hudson?
Yes, Kimberly Hudson.
Oh,
how
hey,
are you?
Baby. How
are
you doing?
Actually, I'm glad you asked. I don't really feel like I've been doing so well lately. So I feel like I'm at a point where I really need to consult Ifa with the I Ching. And I don't have the money or the readily accessible source to do that.
Mm-hmm.
There are times in my spirit I really feel like I'm close to suicide. And I don't like this feeling. Yeah, I don't like this feeling. So... thank you for taking your time to listen, to hear me. I guess spirit is moved.
Now, Kim, hold up a minute. Hold up a minute. Let me review a couple of things. When you were in the class, you did learn how to put up shields, right?
Yes.
Okay. And you did learn how to water gaze.
Yes.
Okay. Minimally, you need to do those two things and find out what on earth is penetrating your shields that makes you want to go there. You know, I'm trying to think, you know, you've got to move away from that feeling. And so the thing would be to, you know, look in Jambalaya and maybe make a white bath, but using some rosemary, because I know you can get that easily, and ask that whatever entity or energy it is that is prompting you toward the suicide, wash that away so that you can sit still and find out, feel out what your next move is, because I don't see you dying, girlfriend.
Okay.
I don't see that. You know, I see a quandary, you know, and I think that doing that bath, shielding up, and then sitting, just sitting and water gazing and talking to your ancestors, ask them to take this away, this feeling.
Okay.
Away. See, you know, I have to do that because, you know, when I was going to the diabetes clinic, they brought this this psychologist in who was talking about how people with diabetes have to be careful because the condition can make you suicidal. And I had to raise my hand and say, baby, let me explain something to you. I'm homicidal.
I think that's been probably part of my issue. I think I've been so angry. A lot of this anger. I don't know if you remember the trade I work in. I work in the construction.
Yes, I remember.
Yes, and so that has not gotten any easier. And I'm at a point where I'm going to graduate this June.
Oh, sure.
But I don't. Yeah, but thank you. But I don't feel like it's a celebration part for me. So I don't want to take up too much more of your time. I just wanted to engage in this opportunity to reconnect with you, first of all. So thank you very much. And
first few steps, Kim, because my prediction is that once you do graduate, and you see where you're supposed to shift, because what I remember, you're surrounded by a bunch of stupid men who don't respect what you do and who are overworking you for not enough money, and that'll make anybody depressed. So you want to concentrate on not removing myself through suicide, but removing the conditions that oppress me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Ashe. Thank you so very much.
I guess
I'll be in contact with you.
All right. Our next, thank you, Kimberly. Our next caller is number 9838. Okay, we're going to go on. The next caller, 4713. Press star 6 to speak. Okay. Then we have caller 5577.
Yes.
Yes, you have the floor to ask your question and to speak with Yay Yay.
Okay. Hi, Yay Yay.
How you doing, baby?
I'm doing okay. I'm saying I'm from Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
I say I'm Tina. I'm from Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
Oh, another Tennessee girl. Okay. Are you close to Nashville?
Yes. Well, I'm actually in Nashville right now.
Mm-hmm. Do you live there? Do you live there? Nashville?
No, I live in Murfreesboro now.
Okay. But you visited.
That's like 30 minutes away from Nashville. But to me, it's like 15.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of Murfreesboro, Tennessee?
Well, I can't see the map, but, you know, I've been to Nashville and I've been to Memphis, so my...
I moved to Nashville. Okay. Well, my question is, I just lost my boyfriend like 4 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't, I can't stay in my house.
You can't stay in your house?
Yes, it's like his vibrational energy is there, and it's like, I don't know, I just can't stay there. It's like I'm feared or something.
You're afraid?
Huh?
You say you can't stay in there because you're afraid?
Yes.
What are you afraid of?
I can't say death well when people die on me.
Did he die?
Yes.
Oh, how long ago did he cross?
It was like we just buried him last Saturday.
Oh, baby. Oh, you have my sympathy, yes. Yeah, well, you know, I just buried my mother on the 24th of January and the 12th of January. And so you are, you're in grief, baby.
Okay.
You know, grief is a special thing. Are you having difficulty sleeping?
Yes.
Okay. And did he live in the house with you?
Yes.
Okay. Have you had any dreams about him since you buried him?
He came to me smiling.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't say nothing to me.
Okay. So here's the question. Does it frighten you when his spirit visits you?
Say that again?
Does it frighten you when his spirit visits you?
Yes.
Okay. Were you all angry with each other before he died?
No, but it was like we just moved in our place, and I was trying to unpack, and he wanted me to do a lot of things for him, you know. Like put him in the bed, but I couldn't put him in the bed because we had a lot of things on the bed from moving in to our place.
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling me that he wanted some ice cream, so I gave him like 2 spoons of ice cream. And I said, well, babe, I got to finish unpacking so I can take a bath so I can lay down with you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I got done clearing my bed off, I put him in there, you know, and he was okay with it. He waited till I got finished packing. I took my shower. About 10:30, I got in the shower. Then when I got out the shower, I went in and I laid down. And it's like about 12:25 or 12:20, something like that. I had woke up because I'm always checking on him in the middle of the night, but he wasn't responding.
Wow. So he died right after your shower?
When I went to sleep and woke up, then he wasn't responding. So I don't know how long it was.
Oh, baby, this is all very, 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 very raw for you. You're gonna have to, first of all, you're gonna have to give yourself some time, because this is really, really fresh. But, you know, on the immediate side, the first thing I would say is you need to turn your mattress over. You need to take your bed apart, you know, and turn your mattress over.
Okay.
Your mattress over for sure. Get a set of brand new sheets, you know. You got to change things around in that room so that things aren't as familiar as they were when he was in there. Because what may be happening is, you know, eventually you might have to do an elevation for his spirit. But just, you know, right off the top of my head, I would say take the mattress off of the bed, you know, heat it, powder it with a different scent, put brand new sheets on the bed, move the dresser to a different location. If there was a chair, something that he used to flop in all the time, take that out of the room, you know, air the room out, and let him know, you know, I loved you, I cared for you, but you need to elevate. You need to return to the ancestral village, and it's going to take you a while to get to that place. Don't expect yourself to do this overnight. Like I said, I buried my mother January 12th, and I still get up in the morning, sit by the side of the bed, stare into space, and then 15 minutes later, I ask myself, what were you doing? Oh, yeah, that's right. Mama's gone, you know. You're going to have to be patient with yourself.
I can't even just, I can only go in my house in the daytime, but at night, I cannot be in my house.
I may have to refer you to Eyalshumnike, because I think that you need to be on the mat. You need to sit on the mat with a priestess and have her divine and see what's going on here. Because if you can't, are you sleeping in the daytime?
Well, I'm at work all in the daytime, and like I say, I left my home and came to my uncle's house, and I've been sleeping well over here. But if I was staying at my house, I'd be up all night and can't sleep.
Yeah, no. Well, I'm glad that you're somewhere where you can sleep. And what I'm saying is whenever you have a day off, if you can enlist the aid of a friend to go over there and help you rearrange that bedroom. You know, you got to change the vibration in that house. Given the things that you are saying and the fact that you're in Tennessee, I think that you need to sit with somebody, and she, you know, Oshunike is the person that I would recommend right off the top of my head. But if there's another Orisha priestess in the area who's listening, see if you can get with this sister, because she's having an Egun problem. Take care of yourself, baby. Remember, get the sleep that you can and rearrange the room.
Okay.
Okay. Mm.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Next caller is anonymous. We don't have a phone number. Anyone perhaps anonymous?
Greetings.
Hello.
Yes, hi. How are you? My name is Keisha.
Hi, Keisha.
Yeah, I actually was just calling and listening in, but listening to one of the other callers, it made me think of something to just mention.
Mm-hmm.
I recently had an uncle that passed. He actually passed on Easter Day. But now, before he passed, I have an ancestral altar set up in my home, and I put his picture on his father's picture, who was my grandfather, and was asking him to watch over him and maybe, you know, give us some maybe answers as far as some things that might could bring about a healing for him and everything. So I had his picture on top of his father's picture at first, but then he did, you know, go ahead and transition on, so I gave him his on spot now on the ancestral altar. And his picture is the only one that sometimes just continues to catch my attention. Everybody else has been on there, and specifically, I know one day I felt like he was trying to follow me. You can't follow me. You know, I will talk to you and everything, but you can't follow me, you know. And I asked my grandfather to get used to the transition, but every now and then I kind of feel like he's curious. I don't know if he, you know, if he's been trying to transition smoothly or what it is, but it's the only one that I feel like sometimes she's kind of watching me. It's not scary anything, but I'm not sure why I feel like he's sometimes just kind of trying to, I don't know. Yeah.
How long ago did he cross?
Like I said, he passed away on Easter morning.
Easter morning. So that's
Easter
real
morning.
Recent. That's real recent.
Uh-huh.
And was it a peaceful crossing?
He had a lung condition. And basically he had like a scarring around his lungs. He knew about it and he tried to get a bunch of help, but he wasn't a candidate for a lung transplant because of his age. You know, he was 70. So his oxygen level just kept decreasing, and they finally put him on the, to kind of help him breathe, and then the family just didn't want to continue to have him on that, so they decided to come off of that and just kind of let whatever was supposed to happen.
Well, baby, he didn't cross. He wasn't at your house when he died, was he?
Oh, no, ma'am. No, he was, like, in the hospital.
Okay, and was your house somewhere that he enjoyed being?
He never really, this place that I'm staying at now, he's never visited this place in my home. He's never been here.
Okay, so then my question is, when you say you feel like he's following you, where does he follow you to?
No, not in my car. I just kind of felt like sometimes when I'm in front of my ancestral altar, I feel like he's like trying to, let's say if I'm, like my ancestral altar is in my living room. So let's say I'm in my living room and maybe I'm just about to go, to my bedroom or in my kitchen, just kind of like little small steps behind me. But when I feel that, like I said, I just tell him that, well, you can't follow me, but, I will talk to you, but, I just told him that he couldn't follow me.
But when he was well, was he the protective type?
Yes, he was what you all would consider, people would call like a very gentle giant. He was a doctor. That was what his profession was. Yeah.
Well, baby, listen, from what I'm hearing, I don't think you really have a problem because I'm hearing is, you go to the ancestor shrine, you talk to him, he's elevated.
Mm-hmm.
He's a gentle giant. He walks gently behind you. I think the next time he talks to you, ask him if he's trying to be a guardian or a protector for you.
Okay.
Okay. And then depending upon what he says, you could make an agreement with him. If he's your protector, you want him to walk with you. If it's something else, then you're asking him, what is it that I need to do in order for you to feel settled?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think you have a big problem.
Okay, that sounds good. All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right. Hi, sir.
Okay, our next caller is last four digits, 2823. Four digits, 2823.
Hello?
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 Hi, Yee-Yee. It's Christy. I'm just calling and listening, and I don't have a question.
Oh, hey, baby. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing better.
Well, that is a good thing. Been improving lately and everything?
Yes, it's getting better. I've been taking my butt to bed, and I actually soaked my feet in some castor oil last night, so they're feeling better. My leg was hurting, and my feet were feeling really funny, but that's feeling better. I just got to get my butt to the gym.
Yeah, well, I was in the gym last night, and I plan on going again tomorrow. So, very important for everybody to start getting their health together.
That's right.
I think that has a lot to do with the season for right now.
Hey.
To improve your health.
Yeah, this is definitely cleanup time. It's time to clean the body, time to clean the environment, and time to clean the earth.
Now, Yi, for those of us, well, I'll ask one question since they put me on the line. For those mm-hmm. of us who are, you know, don't know that many people who practice, what is it that you can do to get involved without offending people by telling them what you believe in?
I'm sorry, your voice went out.
What can people who are basically, who don't have people to practice with, what can they do to connect more?
Well, one of the things that I'm hoping that the people who take this Jambalaya Spirit class, you know, that we'll be able to create community online and then create clusters, regional clusters, and eventually, you know, have some ceremonies in real time. I don't know, you know, I know you're in Houston, and I don't know of Elay's or Humfo's in Houston. So right now, for me, with my situation, creating community online, knowing that the day is coming when Oshun gonna make up her mind and give me a home, then we'll be able to build up. So, you know, I know you've been working solo, but I know that you're in touch with Nikisha and with Oriade and a couple other people. We're going to have to do online community for a while.
All right. That sounds good. That sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
Who's moderating today?
Oriade.
Hi, Christy.
Hey.
It's Oriade.
Hey, how are you doing? How are you? I didn't know it was you.
It is me. It is me. We have to call and catch up.
I know. So much has happened since the last time I saw you.
See?
I know.
There's
and thank
the community
you.
Already. You see what I'm saying? There's the community already.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There it is.
Well, yeah, and I do. And, you know, both of us are working to get some documentary done about you, to get you
yeah.
with some of your wisdom and to get your writings together.
Well, you'll be glad to know that I am seriously writing, and I think that one of the things that's going to come out of the class that we're proposing is that I will be sharing stuff that's going into the 30th anniversary sequel of Jambalaya, and so the people who participate in that class will get some of that material and will also influence what goes on and will spur me on in getting it done. I'm looking forward to this class. It has a lot of potential.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it, too, because I wasn't able to attend some of the other sessions that you did for Jambalaya. So
right.
One of my first ones.
Right. Well, you know, like I said, soon Oshun's going to make me understand what her plan is. Right now, I go to her and I do divination. I say, yeah, what's up? And she say, do what I tell you to do today, and then get up and do what I tell you to do tomorrow. So
that's frustrating.
But, you know, I just have to laugh, honey. I say, okay, yeah, whatever you say. It generally means she's got a surprise hanging out for me.
My goodness. Well, I haven't been as diligent as I should be, but I've had a couple of things happen. And when you start seeing when people are going to die, I don't know if that's really a gift I want.
Well, I don't know if that's a gift you want to throw away. I think it's one you want to cultivate. You want to learn how to use it properly.
Now, is that for people who do that, does that not become hard for them to live with?
Most gifts have their challenge, but I don't find my gifts that hard to live with. I do regulate them, you know. It's like I would say you have to learn how to use the gifts that you have. It takes time, Christy, and it does take work. It takes a lot of work.
Yeah. It's just scary when it actually comes true. Because yeah. I have had something like that happen recently. Somebody that I knew was murdered.
Ooh, okay.
But I had a vision that they weren't being careful. And mm-hmm. I offered the advice to be careful. And the following week that happened.
Right. So now we're talking about responsibility. If Spirit gives you a message for somebody, it's your responsibility to give them the message in as clear a language as you can. And then when you have done that, then their spirit is making a choice about whether or not they follow your guidance. And, you know, it gets kind of strange. I'm going to digress for a minute and tell you about an incident years ago when I was first developing. I remember a morning when I woke up and the message was so clear that Spirit actually gave me the person's phone number. This was somebody I did not know. I woke up with this man's phone number on my mind. I went to the phone and I called his number. It was like 5:30 in the morning or something. And I said to him, I said, "Sir, I know that you don't know me. And I want you to know that I'm not asking for anything. But can I ask you a question? Do you usually walk to the bus stop in the dark in the morning?" He said, "Yes, I do. I have to do that to go to work." I said, "Please do me a favor and don't do that this morning." He said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "I had a dream that you were mugged on your way to work this morning, and it wasn't good. I don't know you. You don't know me, but Spirit gave me your phone number. Please, I'm asking you, do not walk to work, to the bus stop, to go to work this morning." And he said, "Well, who are you?" I said, "It don't matter. I don't want nothing. You don't ever have to talk to me again, but I've delivered the message." Now, whether he listened to me or not, I don't know, but I delivered the message. I delivered the message.
And see, that was something I had a problem with and actually didn't do, because I felt like this person is going to think I'm insane.
So what? So what? So what? So what, Christy? You got to let that go and learn how to listen to Spirit. See, that's a problem. You can't worry about what that other person is going to think about you, because you have to do what Spirit said. That's why I opened with telling him, "I don't want anything from you. You know, I ain't trying to trick you. I ain't trying to get you to buy nothing. You don't ever have to speak to me again, because my only responsibility is to tell you what Spirit said." After that, that's that person's choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you have to let that go. I know. That ain't the shit you wanted to hear from me, but that's what I got to tell you.
okay. It's okay. I figured that because I'm saying, well, you know, what can I do now? It's nothing that you really can do.
Mm-mm.
But it's something that I haven't experienced that often. I have had things like that happen, just not in that manner. Where
right.
I would see things about friends, and it would be just, you know, odd, quirky things. And I would mention it to them, and they would be like, well, that really happened. Well, how do you know about it?
Mm-hmm.
And I would just say, oh, I saw it in a dream. And
okay.
one of my friends said, you know, you freak people out doing stuff like that.
That's their problem. That's not your
yeah.
problem. Your problem is to do what Spirit tells you, and if they don't listen, that's their problem.
And
Christy, if you're going to be a priestess, you got to get ready for that, because when you learn to divine and somebody sits down in front of you, they've come to Spirit asking for guidance. It's your responsibility to give them the guidance that they asked for. After that, if they choose not to follow the guidance, that is their ORI making a decision.
I see.
Mm-hmm. You can't keep messing with it.
But that was the first time something like that had occurred, and I didn't quite know how to take it either. And
that's
so,
all right. You'll learn.
Yeah, and so I'm saying, well, okay, you know, be careful, so on and so forth. So then when I heard about what happened, I was kind of shocked. Because
that's
the first time it's ever been anything, I would say, grim. It's always been, oh, someone was getting married, what somebody's kid looked like, who was coming into town. Just very random events.
Mm-hmm.
That
well, as the years go by, it'll get more intense. See, that's the thing I want people to understand about this work. It's not that it makes life so much easier. It makes you stronger. It makes you stronger. You know, asking for spiritual power and spiritual gifts is not, it's not going, you know, it's not no picnic. It's all about fulfilling your contract with creation. If you made an agreement to come here and do this work, you got to do this work. You got to do this work, baby. I'll talk to you about it. I'll talk to you, baby. Let me talk to somebody else.
You go ahead.
We've been going round and round with this one.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, y'all have a good night, Yee.
Okay, baby. Child, Christy ain't going. She thinks she going to slide out of her work. It ain't going to happen. Do we have somebody else who want to ask a question, or should we talk about the class? Over there?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the class and go back to the questions. We have three more.
Okay.
Okay. So what I'd like to ask each of you to do, if you have access to the internet, your computer, your smartphone, first I want to invite you to preview and take a look at Yeye's brand new, beautiful website. And so would you please go to the website of YeyeLuisaTeach.com. And what Yeye and I will be doing is we want to share with you two things. One is a gift for this evening. You've enjoyed the call. I know I've enjoyed it. It's been a powerful teaching as we all anticipated. And so when you go to YeyeLuisaTeach.com, at the very top, there are two tabs. One is, the first is spiritual cleaning. If you will go to that tab for spiritual cleaning, when you scroll, it says, Alafia, welcome to Yeye Luisa Teach's master class. Thanks for your interest in Yeye's teaching on how to spiritually clean your house. And if you will sign in there, there is a form for you to fill in your first name and last name in the top area, and then your email address, Therefore, we will put you on a list, and we will be returning to you a recording of tonight's call, and that's Yay Yay's gift to you, so that's really awesome. So make sure you do that, and the recording will be coming to you within 72 hours. The next thing is also on the same website, yayyayluisateach.com. The second tab, please join us there, is the Spirit of Jambalaya. And Yay-Yay, are you able to look at the website while we talk?
The Facebook page?
Not the Facebook page, but your website page. This is your new website, yayyayluisateach.com.
Hold on a minute. Let me go to, I got to go to Google first, yeah?
Yes, ma'am.
www.yayyayluisateach.com. All righty, let's see what we get here. Oh, you know, I love the artwork that you did over here. It says showing for Yayyayluisateach. Huh. Showing results. Hold on, here we go. No, what I've got, it says Yayyayluisateach. What comes up first is the Institute of Noetic Sciences, and then we found Luisateach, and then
so
what?
Let me give you some direction, Yayyay. If you go up, you know where the actual place is where the URL shows up at the very top of the computer?
Uh-huh.
Just type the website directly into that URL area.
Okay, www.yayyayluisateach.com.
Yes,
yes. Well, let's see. Okay, so here we go. Ooh. Alafia!
Alafia.
I love the water, baby.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
It looks gorgeous. It looks absolutely gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
So this
so
is
Yay Yay's page is where people sign up for the call.
Yes, for the recording. Mm-hmm.
For the recording. Mm-hmm. And then the other tab is the Spirit of Jambalaya. You see that at the very tip top?
You want me to click on it?
Yes, ma'am. Click on it. And those of you who have internet, please click also, and we can take a look at Yay Yay's brand new course.
Oh, girl, you are so talented. I look good on this thing.
Feel inspired
and empowered. Be enriched and enchanted. Wow. Oh, you are so good, honey. My fetifuno batala. All right. Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes,
people. What we can do is walk through it and let people know what the course is.
Yes. See, here's the thing. You know, I'm working on the 30th anniversary sequel to Jambalaya. That means that I have had 30 years of new experiences, and I've also had 30 years of people asking me questions. And so, you know, there's a lot that's going to go into this new book. Now, one of the things that people say about Jambalaya all the time is that it feels as if I'm sitting at the kitchen table across from you talking. And that's because I'm not indulging in a bunch of abstract bullshit. I'm talking directly to you about the things that I know you are concerned about, okay? So where it says Yayyayteach will teach you how to, and there's this list of things: create sacred space, write powerful invocations, confront hidden fears, formulate cleansing baths, design candle rituals, reconnect ancestral roots, and celebrate the seasons of the earth. These are the things that people have asked me about over and over during the past 30 years. During the past 30 years, people have, you know, said, where are you doing a class? Where are you doing a class? When can I take a class? We are global now, you know, and there are people all over the place. And so addressing these things on in an online class is the best way to get the ball rolling and to reach a number of people. But as I said before, it will be my hope that people who are in a common region, like the folks who are in the South, or the folks who are in the East, or the folks who are out West, that at different times, Oriya Day and I will be working so that either you all are coming to where I am for a real-time, hands-on workshop and ritual, or we will be traveling regionally. So, you know, everybody who's in on the West Coast, we can choose a place, everybody can gather there. We choose a place in the South where people can gather. We choose places in each region where people can gather. And that will take care of three things. It'll take care of your learning. You'll be able to learn no matter where you are, right? It will take care of building network, because you'll have an online community of people who are not that far away from you. And it will fulfill the need for regular real-time ritual. For example, in California, we do a thing called the Festival of the Bones, which is a celebration of all the ancestors of the world. We did it for 16 years straight. It became very popular. And then I wasn't able to do it for 2 years, and people just about knocked my door down saying, when are we going to get back to the Festival of the Bones? Come on now. You know, we need this. And so now I'm talking with the ancestors, because they seem to be saying that I need to not only hold my own Festival of the Bones, either in New Orleans or in California, but I need to teach other people how to manifest an event like that in their own communities. You know, I'm at that age now where I have to pass the torch. For those of you who don't know, this month, April, I will make 68. Okay, and this is the last trimester of my time on the planet, and Oshun is being very clear, when she feel like it, about changing the way I operate, making sure that I get things written, making sure that I leave some trained people behind me, and, you know, and legacy is clear. So having the online classes, having people organize themselves regionally, and then having real-time gatherings seems to be the guidance that I'm being handed at this time. So you can see this is 9 weeks, and at the end of those 9 weeks, people, depending upon what kind of progress people make, we will then design another 9-week class that extends the learning. But this is what I have here is the basic things that people have asked ask for more learning around. So we're looking at clearing sacred space, blessing sacred space, self-blessing, fire ritual, earth and reconnecting roots, spirits of the ancestors, that's something that could be extended, spirits of the ancestor preparation, spirits of the ancestors practice, water and the rainbow rituals, air, inspiring spiritual health for self and community, and then a summer solstice ritual. Yeah, that's going to be wonderful. So, Oriade, you want to talk to them about the early bird rate and the payment plan and stuff?
Absolutely, yes. As Yeye and I were discussing organizing the online course, one of her foremost concerns is making it accessible, because we know, just as she so eloquently expressed, you know, she is in a season of wanting to continue to sow into us, to pour into us, to teach us, and, of course, we greatly are benefiting from the teachings, and your teachings help us to just live our very best lives and to be about our purpose and our destiny. And then she's also passing down the wisdom, because, you know, it's important that we begin to look at ourselves, not just in what do we need right now to have a life that I desire or a life that I like, but what will be the roles that you and I and we will take to continue to be the bearers of the culture, the keepers of the culture, the keepers of the tradition. And so what we have, you all, is really a beautiful and an empowered opportunity to sit at the feet of our master teacher, our beloved Yeye, and to gain this wisdom for our edification and growth, for our family's edification and growth, but also looking at this in terms of legacy and lineage and what will we be doing, because it's quite frankly, you know, many of us are called to be teachers ourselves. Mm-hmm. So the reason for this course is, I think, more than reasonable. It's fair. It's accessible. It means a matter, perhaps, of making some priorities. If it is a financial matter for you concerning where you will spend your money, of course, you'll make those decisions. But the early bird rate, is $297 when you pay in full. And there's also a multi-pay option, which means for the price of $315, you can pay three installments of $105 every 30 days. So the early bird rate is available through Monday. So keep in mind, this course begins on Saturday next week. I mean, mm-hmm. It's starting Saturday. And so the timing, because we're getting everything geared up so we're in position for the celebration, the ritual of the summer solstice. So counting backwards from summer solstice is necessary that we begin this Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So back to our rates, early bird is available starting now. Right now it's open. You can register tonight, and it will be available through Monday, April 18th at 12 midnight. After that time, the early bird rate will close, and the standard rate applies, which is $100 more of $397. And then that, too, is available in a three-pay option of $138.33. So here on Naye's website, you will see where you can scroll, and there is an orange button that says Register Now. Under the Register Now area, there are two forms. If you're choosing the early bird full pay, you would complete the form on the left, and when you click next, it will take you to a place to complete your transaction. And then on the right, if you're doing the early bird, then you can choose the three-pay option by using the form on the right. So, again, these forms will be active until the early bird deadline.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yes, and let me just go into a couple of other things. Yeye shared, you know, what is the content that she will be teaching, the deep wisdom, the deep insight, the deep knowledge that we will be gaining. the additional things that you also will gain in this online class, the Spirit of Jambalaya Work Series, is Yeye will have a private Facebook group. Because as we know, as we explore and journey through Jambalaya together, there's going to be a myriad more questions and insights mm-hmm. and understandings that come forward. So there is a capacity to ask questions live on the call that will take place with the weekly calls. But then the Facebook group is a really great opportunity for us to, one, continue to ask questions and gain insight from Yeye, as well as begin this process of cultivating this community that so many of us desire and need. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the Facebook space is going to be that page for us to connect with one another, get to know one another, and build those relationships.
That's right.
Also, the calls will be recorded. So whether we're using audio or video platform, it might be a combination of both. Either way, if you have an internet connection and a computer, you'll be able to join the call and or a telephone. So you will have access to those recordings for a lifetime, a lifetime. So these are recordings that will really be a part of your personal sacred treasury and your archives that where you can continue to refer to year after year, day after day. If you need to hear something more than once or if you want to share it with someone else, you'll have it there as part of your archives. And then last but not least, this is super, super exciting. As Yeye shared, she is approaching the 30th year anniversary of Jambalaya. And so she is calling us together. She's calling the village together. Because what is it that we want to see in Jambalaya 2.0, the sequel?
Right.
Yes. Right. What are the questions that we have? And so I think it's completely amazing because we all know Jambalaya is that sacred classical spiritual text. And so for our insights and ideas and imaginings to help inform the next generation's experience with Jambalaya, that's more than an honor.
I say. You know what's funny? We had the new moon, the super moon in Aries last week. And my Mercury is in Aries, and Aries is at the top of my chart, the sun and the moon and Uranus and all these planets were up there. And I did my new moon ritual, and I sat down. Some of y'all are going to laugh. I sat down, and I wrote an outline of what I'm going to write for the next 15 years. Baby, when I stopped writing and I looked at that, I said, okay, now that's the Virgo moon trying to get some order, some long-term order. But I must say that I am very, very excited about the things that that Oshun and the ancestors are directing me to do. The other thing I'm going to say, people, I want you to take this course of study knowing that this is not just an intellectual endeavor. This is not just about just gathering information. This is about transforming your life so that each module, you're going to have homework that is contributing to the development of your personal spiritual self-help program. You know, this is for transformation.
Ashe, that's a powerful, powerful key word. That's a powerful key word. And key word, it doesn't even really do justice to what I mean to be saying that.
Mm-hmm.
But transformation, to possess the knowledge, the skills, the tools. My spiritual teachers, yourself included, Yeye, but, you know, along my journey, that's one of the questions that often, you know, when we face different challenges or different crossroads experiences, in some way the elder or teacher will come back and go, well, are you using your tools?
Absolutely.
Well, are you doing what you know to do?
That's the only reason to teach, is to make sure that the tools are, see, here's a difference that I learned a long time ago. There's a difference between a lecturer and a teacher. A lecturer may walk into the room like that philosopher Kant, maybe y'all heard the story about Immanuel Kant walked into a room at the university. There were no students in the room. He delivered his lecture and walked out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A lecturer can often be a talking head who just has something they got to say to fulfill their contract or to get it out. A teacher is going to need to know that you heard, understood, and are using the information that is coming forward. You know, I consider myself to be a teacher, and so it will be very, very important to me to know that you're integrating the material, and it'll be very, very important to future generations because you will have some impact on what goes into this next incarnation of Jambalaya.
Mhm. Mhm.
It's important.
Absolutely. So, Yay, I would love if you will share with us more about the summer solstice ritual, because this is again another extraordinary reason why this experience is powerful, beautiful, historic. Let's just go ahead and call it historic, mm-hmm. because that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you know, in the same spirit of Marie Laveau gathering with her community,
right.
you know, years ago, decades ago. It's in that same spirit. This is historic. And,
mm-hmm.
and you are the presiding, prevailing mother of our generation. And so for the summer solstice gathering in New Orleans, what might we expect? What should we need to know about that? What can you delight us with?
You know, the summer solstice is that time when we really ignite our spirit and stoke the divine fire so that we will have energy for the harvesting in fall, and we'll be able to preserve ourselves in winter. Now, I can't promise you, you know, when Mademoiselle Marie did the ritual, they said that she used to come up from under the water of Lake Pontchartrain with candles on her head. I can't promise y'all that I'm going to do that because I can't swim, you know. But what I am looking for is ways that we will be able to gather at various places, various historical places in New Orleans, like Congo Square, for example. You know, there's some things going on here in New Orleans that I'm a little bit upset about, which is now they're charging people to go to the gravesite of Mademoiselle Marie Laveau and that kind of stuff. But what I am looking for here in New Orleans is places where we can gather, where we can hold a workshop that prepares you for the ritual, where you would learn songs and dances, where we can be out in nature, and where we can basically charge up our batteries. So I'm going to be looking at Congo Square. I'm going to be looking at Lake Pontchartrain. I'm going to be looking at some of the historic places where we can do some amazing things.
Mhm, mhm. That's beyond amazing. And for those of you who have not been to New Orleans, let me just tell you, to be in New Orleans, to be doing spiritual work and to be there for with the intention of raising, honoring, revering, cultivating spirit, I cannot think of perhaps a greater place to do it, at least on this in this country.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's one of the greatest places for it to happen. And so, you know, there's an opportunity, too, that in your New Orleans experience to learn so much about the African contribution, the African cultural retentions that are so much a part of the way of life of just who New Orleans is and who the people be there, that it's going to be beautiful, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And, you know, as we progress with the class, it has been the instructions from Oshun, like for this session, I think I told people to grab a cup of tea, and I'm going to be working with one of my daughters who is an herbalist to formulate a special tea blend for this class. You know, this is a holistic approach. We have to take a holistic approach to this work.
Ashe, ashe. So, yay, let me share some good news. Or yay-yay-o. I am checking my email as we talk and as I review all of the technology behind the call. Mm-hmm. And we need to congratulate your first students who have signed up.
Oh! Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
So I'm going to share their names. We have Natirza Levine.
Ashe, welcome.
Kim Leary.
Ashe.
And Montana Jones.
Oh, Montana. Yeah, hey, baby. Right on. Me and Montana go way back, honey. Wow. Oh, this is wonderful.
It is. So right now, our time is 10 p.m. I want to acknowledge and say thank you to you all who came on. Yay, yay. I know there were three more calls in the queue. Are you able to take those?
Well, if they're brief, because you know, this at this time of night, I start to become dense. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I'm good for about another 15 minutes, and then you might hear gibberish.
Okay. So we will respect your time. So if you do have to leave the call, I do see a couple of people have left the call. We understand that. We thank you for being with us this evening. Please know that at Yeye's website, yeyeluisateach.com, when you sign in there, we will make certain to send you the recording within 72 hours. So please remember to do that. Also, like Yeye's page on Facebook. Her beautiful new public figure Facebook page is Yeye Luisa Teach, and you'll see the artwork there with the bayou scene, and so that way you'll know you're at the right page.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're signing off, good night, and we will be in touch. You'll be hearing more from Yeye in coming weeks concerning all the great things that she has in store. So for now, our next caller is Marissa. No phone number, but I do have your name. Marissa, are you still here? Hello, Marissa?
Is she 2692?
No, ma'am. I don't have any digits for Marissa.
Oh, okay. Somebody at 2692 just left the call.
Okay. The next person I have is 2575, last name Thomas. And you can press *6 to unmute.
Okay.
And then we also have Natirza Levine. Natirza, are you here?
Hello?
Okay. So I will do this as we go through. Let me just have one last opportunity. If you have a call, a brief question, excuse me, for Yaya, please press star 6. We have a few minutes left, and you can do that now to ask your question. Okay, Yaya, well, I believe with that if we are complete concerning the call.
Okay, I go Legba. Good night, everybody. Sleep well.
Thank you. Good night, good night, good night.
Good night.
Open up the lines. You all can say good night. Press star 6 and say good night.
Good night. Thank
good
you.
Night.
Good night.
It was
good.
Good
night.
Thank you.
Good night. Bobo, Bobo, Ray. Good night.
Ashe.
Ashe.
Bye, Yaya. Good night, Yaya.
Well, good night, Yaya, and good night, Orade. I hope all of y'all have a wonderful evening.
Thank you. Good night, Christy.
Orade, we made it to Port Arthur. We just getting here, so we made it.
All right. Good night, Makalani.
Night, night.